Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Can you hear me?
I can, barely.
Good. That means your ears are probably clean. For some listeners and for some of our patients, ears are occasionally blocked with wax. We call that cerumen. It is a hydrophobic protective covering in the ear. It has a physiologic purpose, which is to protect the external canal from water damage and from infection and from trauma and perhaps from foreign bodies, even things that are creepy crawly and might get in your ear. The accumulation of this wax or cerumen is usually asymptomatic. On occasion, it can cause some bothersome symptoms, maybe even some hearing loss. There are anatomic and physiologic reasons for accumulation, but inappropriate attempts to remove earwax, and I mean no disrespect to the manufacturer of Q-tips, but I am talking here about Q-tips, in an otherwise healthy person, push cerumen deeper into the ear canal and can cause obstruction. The other thing that can cause this, by the way, are hearing aids and earbuds and earplugs and swimming earplugs and things that go in the ear. So cerumen removal should be performed carefully, given that improper removal can potentially lead to tympanic membrane perforation or trauma. We commonly use one of three methods: ceruminolytic agents, irrigation, and manual removal, sort of picking it out. No one method, to my knowledge, has been shown superior to the others. So for primary care providers, cerumenolytics are pretty easy and quick option. But the question is, within that group, are all of the agents equally effective? A great little question. You found a poem. It was published in Clinical Otolaryngology in 2021. It starts on page 464, and it attempts to answer the question, which cerumenolytics are effective in aiding manual removal of cerumen in the office? Mark, what did they teach us?
Yeah, so I take this personally because I went to see my new doctor recently, and she said, boy, you have small ear canals. And that kind of explains why I've had problems with earwax buildup for many years. So it's something that I constantly have to deal with. And so, yeah, I was interested in looking at this. This was a systematic review. They looked at three different databases. They did a very careful search. They found 25 studies, and they did a network meta-analysis. And we've talked about these where you can do both direct comparisons of one agent to another, but then you can also do indirect comparisons via a third comparator. So, for example, if two different studies compared to placebo, you can compare those agents to each other via that placebo comparison. So what they found, when combined with syringing the ear in the office, only chlorobutanol was more likely to produce a benefit with a single dose than syringing plus normal saline. So chlorobutanol is a weak local anesthetic, so that might be an additional advantage. Sodium bicarb or baking soda and paradichlorobenzene, which is a hydrating agent found in lots of ear drops, were associated with significantly greater proportions of patients with wax clearance as compared with normal saline when used for multiple days prior to syringing. So a little bit less convenient, not just a single application. Glycerol, hydrogen peroxide glycerol, and various other combinations were also more effective when used multiple times. All the studies were felt to be pretty low quality, and there weren't enough studies of each intervention to look for publication bias. So bottom line, if you're in the office and you want to soften up that wax before syringing, the only agent that's probably going to help you is chlorobutanol, and that's combined with arrakis oil and paradichlorobenzene in a product called Cerumol, C-E-R-U-M-O-L. If you're at home and you have the time to do this over several days, lots of different products can be helpful, including hydrogen peroxide and this combination of Cerumol, which you can also buy over the counter. People also sometimes use baking soda, half a teaspoon in 100 milliliters of water. My preference is for 2% hydrogen peroxide because I like that fizzing sound that it makes in my ear. But that's just me.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Very interesting. Do you have any experience as a clinician using this chlorobutanol?
I'd never, this is my first exposure to chlorobutanol. I haven't used Cerumol. It's the, it, yeah, not something that I've used in practice.
Yeah. So one thing that we can ask our listeners to let us know is if they have experience with this and how you use it. Do you put it in the ear and let it sit for 20 minutes while you go see another patient and then come back? Or can you put it in and then, you know, irrigate right away?
No, you should leave it in for a period of probably at least 5 minutes or so. And, you know, what I've typically done in practice is use the butterfly, cut off the needle. So I just have a thin little hose attached to a syringe. And then with, you know, lukewarm kind of body temperature water, use that to direct the spray.
Yeah. And an emesis basin. So you don't get the patient covered with.
Got to have that close by. Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.